Thank you, Brother Kim. You just stole the first few lines of my sermon. That's all right. That is true. This is most likely the best known and best loved psalm of all 151. One of them is not normally published in our Bibles. I don't recall why that is, but there are 151 psalms. So I'll look into that more some other time. Please turn with me and read with me. I'll read out loud and follow along this well-known psalm. And I want you to read it. I know you probably all read it. Some of you have memorized it. But read it like you're a shepherd. Okay? That may be hard for some of us. I've never been a shepherd. I've been a butcher, but I never even butchered any sheep. But read it like you're a shepherd, and that you will understand that the Lord is our shepherd. That's how the psalm starts. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm tempted to ask for a show of hands of anyone who worries. You don't have to show your hands. I'm pretty sure that everyone here worries. I'm pretty sure of that. I'm not asking for any contradictions. If you really have mastered the gift of not worrying at all ever, then you probably should go have coffee. Because you don't need this sermon. Okay? Oh, David's going for coffee. Oops. I'll find out about that. Worry is a huge source of stress. It is probably the main source of stress in all of our lives. We can worry about thousands or hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of things. We may have our own pet worries, things we worry about often, like grades, jobs, family, children, our government, lots of things. You can make a list. If you have lots of paper, you can write down a list. Okay? We worry about a lot of different things. I encourage you, we don't really, I forgot to have Hilaria leave a space in our bulletins, but I encourage you to jot down a few notes as we talk about this. And let me tell you why. Teachers will tell you, even those here will probably agree, that you forget 90% of what you hear within 72 hours. Now, guess what? That's depressing for preachers and teachers. But if you write things down, it helps you see and remember. So, a couple things you could write down. Worry is unhelpful, unreasonable, and unhealthy. Okay? I wouldn't dare say that worry causes all of our illnesses or all of our lack of health. I wouldn't say that. But it's not good for us. Worry is this analogy of making mountains out of molehills. Have any of you seen molehills? Some of you have. I don't know if we have moles here in Guam. But in the States, molehills are about that big. They make a little mound about that tall, maybe 4 inches. Maybe big moles make 5 or 6 inch piles of dirt. And we take those little tiny piles of dirt and make them huge. All of us have seen mountains. Even our own Guam Islands has mountains. We were not made to worry. God had a plan for how we would live and how we would be and how we would be healthy, and worry wasn't on his list of what he wants for us. It's unnatural for us, as the crown of God's creation, to worry. We are the only creatures who worry. Plants don't, animals don't, only we humans worry. I found it interesting that the root of the word, the original language, means to choke. Worry chokes out joy and new life God wants us to enjoy as His people. So, if we agree that all of us worry, and we agree that all of us should not worry, then what are we going to do about it? Well, I'm going to tell you, this is not a secret, or maybe it is. If you don't know it, then you need to know this secret. The antidote to worry is to believe. Really, truly, totally believe that God will take care of you. Even if you get sick, God will take care of you. Even if you stay healthy, God will take care of you. Even if, and you fill in the blank with anything you want, even if, God will truly take care of you. If we really, truly believe that, we don't need to worry. It's that simple. And that's how Psalm 23 can help us. Sometimes other versions and sometimes paraphrases can help us. The Living Bible, Psalm 23, verse 1, says this: "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need." Not too different from our NIV, but notice the connection. Because God is my shepherd, He's given me everything I need. Not always everything we want. We all know about that. If I really believe God is going to take care of me like that, I don't need to worry. Now, please let me also emphasize, I'm not just preaching this at you. I have to hear this too. I worry too. Okay? This is not just directed at you. But these first three verses of Psalm 23 show God taking complete care of us by providing. I asked you to think about being a shepherd. And He takes care of us by providing experiences of plenty, green pastures, peace, still waters. Literally, that means every sort of rest, every sort of relaxing and resting you can do, and renewal. He restores my soul. Psalm 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul." That's what Psalm 23 is telling us, a little less directly. The principle behind our experiences is that He chooses paths of righteousness for us. Paths, righteousness is a great word. It's kind of a little hard to understand by some people who don't understand it. Righteousness is being right, doing right, living right. That's what righteousness is. I think I've shared with you before a few times where it seemed very appropriate to tell someone seeking parole, "Would you like to learn how to be right, to do right, to live right, to straighten out your life?" And in the cases that I asked, they said, "Yeah, yeah." I said, "Would you like to read a book about how to do that?" They said, "Yeah, they would." I said, "Well, it's here. It's the Bible. It tells us how to be right and live right." That's what Psalm 23 is telling us as well. Paths that are right with God. Make sense to God. In this, He acts for His name's sake in accordance with the character that He's revealed to us in His Word. Verse 1 is our text today. We're going to briefly look. We're going to look into this psalm a couple more times yet in the next couple of weeks. I will admit to you that it was a little bit intimidating for me to choose to preach about a psalm that everybody knows very well, but I think I've found some things that will enrich us all in this psalm. So, one of them is four things a shepherd does. It's how we understand, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. So a good shepherd does these things. If you're writing them down, number one is provides. He provides food, shelter, all of the basic needs of his sheep. Remember, that's us, okay? The second thing is he protects. He protects us from enemies. Praise God for that. He gives us a parents and grandparents to do that, but through them he protects his little ones from the wolves in this world. The third thing is he guides. I'm pretty sure you're like me, and I've sometimes been lost or confused. Anybody confused about the journey that we're on, that our country is on? Of course, it's one of the things we worry about. But God guides us. God is guiding every one of us. How many of you, well, you don't have to raise your hands again, but I think many of you have, like me, later realized in life that God was guiding me when I didn't know it. He was helping me do things that I wasn't aware God was helping me do that. He was guiding me through serving in the United States Army back when I was a young man and not very mature or wise. He was guiding me in that and in countless other experiences, and he's doing that for you too. And then the fourth thing is, he corrects. When we make mistakes, when problems come along, our shepherd corrects us. That's like guiding, but a little different in a way. I mentioned earlier, sheep are dumb animals. I don't know if you know much about sheep. I didn't, so I had to look up some things. I found out that sheep sometimes fall in a crevice where rocks come together, and then it's kind of a tight spot. And if a sheep falls in a crevice, they turn over, put their feet up in the air, and die. They don't do anything to try to get unstuck. They just give up, and they die. They don't try to get out. They just lay there. And unless the shepherd comes along, he's looking for them, if he lost sight of them, and unless the shepherd comes along and pulls the sheep out of this bind, literally, they die. The shepherd corrects this problem. He pulls them out and sets them back on their feet and back on their way in the flock. God has promised to do these four things in our lives. A true picture of who God is as our shepherd will, I believe, help us to trust him more and more. And when we trust him day by day, every day, he will provide, protect, guide, and correct. Isaiah, in his prophecy, chapter 40, verse 11, speaking of the Messiah, says in verse 10, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. True to fulfilling that prophecy of the coming Messiah was incorporated in the concept of the shepherd of his people in verse 11, the following verse. Jesus identified himself as that expected good shepherd. His original audience knew better than we what Isaiah had said about a shepherd, that the messianic promise was of a shepherd for his people. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He's referring back to Isaiah 40, verse 11, when he said that in John 10, 14. He's also called the great shepherd in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, and as the chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5, verse 4. You see what the scripture is doing when it says God is the Lord is our shepherd. Don't just think about the guy who is watching the sheep each day. This is the greatest shepherd. This is the best shepherd, the best of all, the best ever. That's what the scripture is telling us and emphasizing. Because the Lord was David's shepherd, his needs were met. Philippians 4:19 tells us, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Jesus Christ. Make no mistake, Jesus is our shepherd. Now, if God promised to do these things, what is there to worry about? Did I miss anything? I think that covers it all. The Lord is my shepherd. I hope you can say that. The Lord is my shepherd. Don't forget. Again, I don't want you to raise your hands, but I suppose most hands would go up if I asked how many of you have insurance policies. Most of us do. Most adults have insurance. And then I wonder, what is covered? You see, when you know what's covered, you don't worry. A long time ago, I shared with you when we had a home invasion burglary, we had renter's insurance. We were paid back for everything we lost. We didn't worry about the stuff we lost, I don't think. I didn't. We lost some really old, outdated computers, so I was happy that those were gone. But we know what's covered, and then we don't worry. Somebody once went through the Bible and counted. I'd like to do a guessing game, but I'll just move along. How many promises are in the Scriptures from God? I don't know if it's an exact number, but approximately 8,000. 8,000 promises from God. Now, if we know what is in our insurance policy, we don't have to worry about it. But we have to read the promises every day, or we easily forget. There are three things we need to do to let God be our shepherd on a day-to-day, moment-by-moment basis. The first is quite simply, accept Jesus as our shepherd. If you can't say, then I want you to learn to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Accept him as your shepherd. Let him be in charge, in control. The sheep can't run the flock. They really can't. I know this is an extended analogy. If it were mine, I would apologize, but it's not my analogy. God himself said, Jesus is our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. See how it's spelled in our Bible. The Lord, you see the capital L, and then the other capital letters, O-R-D, they're smaller. But that is very significant. The Lord refers to Yahweh God, the Almighty God, the Creator God, the Most High God, the Almighty God. All that meaning is packed into those little capital letters. The covenant God who makes promises and keeps all his promises to his people. Lord means to let him be in control, let him be in charge, let him direct and guide and provide and help. The whole first half of John chapter 10 elaborates on this idea of the shepherd and his flock. It greatly enhances our understanding of this psalm and our understanding of Jesus. For instance, he says in verse 14, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. To accept Jesus as Lord and let him control means at least three things, as seen in John chapter 10, verse 27. First, know him. If you don't know him, he's not going to be your shepherd. In the last days, the scripture tells us, many will say, Lord, Lord, all the capital letters, that same word, Lord, Lord. And Jesus says, I don't know you. Now, how many of us know Donald Trump? Probably every one of us have heard of him, right? We may know of him. We may know about him. If you have a television, you've heard him speak recently. He's on the news quite often. You might like him and trust him, and maybe not. But still, you really don't know him. I don't know him. But with our shepherd, we need to get to know him. The president, he was here during the middle of the night a while back. I wasn't on island. None of you probably saw him. So we don't get to know someone like that, a celebrity of any type. But with the Lord, we need to get to know him. Okay? And we know how to get to know him. It's not easy to know his word. He has told us about himself in his word. And every part too, by the way, the Old Testament, New Testament alike. So we need to get to know him. And then we need to listen to him and listen to his voice. This is reading and understanding the Bible, studying it, and also prayer. And then we need to follow him. I hope all of us can say, "Yes, Lord, you're my shepherd, and I'll do what you say." You know this pasture, you know this flock, you know what we need, where we need to go, what we need to do. I'm going to trust you to help me do that, to go where I need to go and do what I need to do. That is obedience. Many have asked a very basic question. Humans everywhere have wondered or asked this question: who's in charge? Who's in control? Many people answer that question by saying, "I'm in charge. I'm in control." But I promise you, playing God causes worry. Anytime we try to control the uncontrollable, it causes worry. What's the first commandment? Have no other gods before me. If you listen to that first commandment, you will learn to let God be in control. You will learn that he is our Lord, and he's in control. The second thing you can do, begin praying about everything. To some, it might seem a little silly to pray about everything. Prayer, for example, while I'm sitting, waiting to come up to the front to deliver a sermon. Lord, help me be your voice in this sermon. Small thing. I practice it. I do it a lot. But we should pray about every little thing and every big thing. Of course, we've spent time praying for friends who have health problems and difficulties and cancer and surgery and all of those things. Yes, we need to pray about those big things and all the small things too. Listen to what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. We've all heard it. "Don't be anxious about anything. Look at the birds of the field." I'm sure he pointed to a bird that was flying by at the time. "Look at the birds of the field. They don't worry. Look at the lilies." I'm sure he pointed to some lilies that were there on the hillside. "They don't worry at all." He's saying to us, tell God everything. Let him carry it. Paul put it this way in Philippians 4:6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Peter wrote it this way in 1 Peter 5:7. "Cast all your anxiety on him." If you don't remember anything else I say this morning, that God's saying through me, remember that. Cast all your anxiety on our Lord. That verse doesn't stop where I asked why. It goes on, because he cares for you. That's what shepherds do. Next, live one day at a time. You've heard that before. I know you have. Live one day at a time. Just ask yourself, did Jesus pray to give us our monthly bread or our yearly bread? No, daily bread. Don't be anxious about anything. We need to pick up a loaf of bread, but I'm not anxious about it. Just need to remember. I just used the last two for a sandwich, the last two slices for a sandwich yesterday. But God will provide for the bread today too. Not a problem. When we live one day at a time, we can say in our hearts or out loud, and we can mean it, God, today I commit this day to you. A great proverb is Proverbs 16:3. "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed." Wilbur Chapman, I don't remember much about who he is, but he was once asked to cheer up a little boy dying of cancer. The boy was, quite naturally, afraid of dying. And Wilbur said to him, "Remember, the Lord is my shepherd." To the boy, he says, "Say it over and over again. And lift your finger and put it in your hand like this and say it. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. Little boy died 2 weeks later. His mom found his little finger up in his hand when he died. He was repeating, the Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd and he is your shepherd. It's not that he will be or he may be or he could be or he should be or he might be. It doesn't say any of those. It says he is my shepherd. I want you to do this with me. I'll explain. The Lord is my shepherd. I want you to, with me, emphasize each word. First the first word and then next the second word, okay? And then next the third word. I'll show you. The Lord is my shepherd. 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 Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for being our shepherd. To anyone who hasn't accepted you as Lord, as CEO, as manager, as boss, Lord, I ask that you'll let them do it now and accept you as my shepherd. Worry is like a warning light on the dashboards of our car. May we commit ourselves to your lordship in our lives, no matter what comes, large or small. Lord, we trust you. We ask you to bring glory to your holy name, to the name of my shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.